Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This podcast is from Monday nights, our local community gathering. If you want to be a part of it and you live in the Southern California area, you are invited. Or if you don't live here but you want to join us online at crmovement.com/gatherings. Hope you enjoy the message.
To our feet and give a very warm Circuit Rider welcome to Michael Koulianos.
Well, I better do good tonight. This is someone's Bible. Now I've got one. It's an honor to be here. Could we just stand? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to say a few things, and then we're going to pray again. Can you hear me? Okay. For your kindness, for your unending grace. And Holy Spirit, without you tonight, we will fall flat on our faces. You're the one who reveals Jesus. It's you, Lord, giver of life, wonderful Holy Spirit. I pray even now as we come to you, Lord, that the wind of heaven, the gentle of God would begin to flow through this place, and that our hearts would be set on fire, that our hearts would come alive, that you would shake off the dust and give us a true vision of the beautiful Son of God. And so with hands lifted tonight, we all say, worthy is the Lamb who is slain. There is no one like Jesus. You are the one true God. And Lord, we've come tonight to adore you. I pray that distraction would fry in this room, that you'd catch us up in the wonder of your beauty. And that tonight would be a marking moment for us all, one we would talk about for years to come. And I do ask, Lord, that you would bless Circuit Riders, that you would bless them tonight, that somehow through me, Lord, you would use me as a vessel to bring a blessing that would last. And more than anything, Lord, we ask that you would be so loved and adored. That this would be known as a place that loves you. That in heaven, it would be known that, Lord Jesus, you can knock on this door. And that we will open. And that we'll say, come in, beautiful King. Dine with us and us with you. Be our food tonight, be our drink, be our everything. And Lord, just steal the show. Capture it all. Take the attention as we look to you. Glorify the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Can we lift a praise and seal that? Can we do that? Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift one more to the Lord. Can we do that? We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You guys can take your seats. Thank you. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. Anything could happen. So everyone, if you don't mind, just stay close. I want to just say thank you so much to Nick, to Christy. I know she's not here tonight. I love Christy so much. And also want to honor Brian, who was a dear friend and brother to me and such an encouragement. How many of you know that Brian is not dead? I said, how many of you know Brian is not dead? Aren't you grateful? And I'm sure he's well aware of what's going on here, giving the Lord an earful, telling us to go do something crazy. and telling us to believe in ourselves when we have no reason to. He was like the epitome of a hyper edifier when there was nothing in us really worth cheering on. Brian would do that. He told me in that garage that I'd preach to the nations and to stadiums, and well, the Lord has done beautiful things. So I want to honor that. Can we honor the life of Brian, our dear friend? Yeah. Also, I want to thank Nick. I'm so proud of Nick, and I do remember that first meeting. Was that at Daniel Parks Church?
Yeah.
That was a wild night.
Yeah,
and I said, hey, come. The Lord was healing people. Bodies were flying. And like 5 circuit riders showed up. What do we do? I said, just keep the bodies from hitting the floor. And they did about half a good job with that. But some of the greatest memories I have in the ministry are in the garage. They really are. I mean, I've had the joy of preaching and seeing millions of people in one night. I've seen 3 million people in one crowd. I've seen 7 million in 3 nights. Maybe the largest Christian event in the history of the church I've been in with Pastor Benny. And so I've seen beautiful things. I've seen the wonders of God. I've seen tumors fall out of people's bodies on the ground. And I tell you that in the fear of the Lord. One of them hit my shoe. And I was upset because they were nice kicks. And I was thanking God for the miracle and then wondering how he would provide for the new shoes. I've seen thousands of blind eyes open. Thousands of deaf people receive their hearing. I've been really blessed. And in light of all of that, in light of all the Lord is doing at Jesus Image, which I'm so thankful just to be a small part of what the Lord is doing there. I'm part of a family that is really an honor to walk with. I walk with these folks, and I pinch myself every time I'm with them. I said, Lord, thank you so much for letting me walk with a team like this who's so like Jesus that they provoke me to follow him with a deeper love for him. That being said, the garage is so dear to my heart. I remember touching heaven so quickly in that garage. I remember preaching with Joy Dawson in that garage. I remember flying from Orlando to LA and driving straight to the garage in Huntington. Joy was preaching. How many of you have no clue who Joy Dawson is? Okay, well, you really can't know this house or Jesus Image without knowing Joy. But I showed up ready to preach. I had, an 11 o'clock session. I walked into the garage, and Joy looked me in the eye and said, I'll be taking your session. And I had just flown in from Orlando. And I said, you're taking my session? She goes, yes, because I'm not done yet. You'll sit and listen. And I remember seeing the Lord heal the sick in that garage. I remember preaching my guts out in there. And I remember saying, there's a group in Huntington Beach who, when they pray, they touch the presence of God as a family as quickly as I know anywhere in the world, maybe outside of the underground church in China and in Asia and some parts of the Middle East. So I just want to say it's such an honor to be here. I love all of you. I love the leadership team. You guys are family, and I come bringing love from Jess and our team. So thank you for receiving me. It's a true joy to be here. I also want to thank Chase and Lindy for being amazing, so close to us, and coming to serve at Jesus Image. Thank you guys so much. I love you. Thanks for bringing me out here. Thank you for receiving me. I feel like I'm with family. And may the Lord touch us all tonight. Amen? Nick, thank you for the wildest introduction ever. I've never had anyone say buy 5 pieces of merch. The wild thing is we don't have merch here, do we? Okay, yeah, so. But I just love the blanket, like, do it all. And about Jesus 24, I want to say we've never left Orlando. We've gone 10 straight years there. I cannot believe it. 10 straight years for that annual event at the end of the year. And a year ago, the Lord began to speak to us in dreams. And my wife saw a bus that said Jesus to her on it. And I had had a dream. I saw a massive tsunami come up from like the Catalina Island area. And I was standing in this dream on Salt Creek, and I could see Orange County. And I thought this wave would kill me in the dream, but the wave crashed into Orange County. And rather than kill me, I was filled with the Holy Spirit in the dream. I began to laugh and rejoice and weep, and I could feel the power of God. And so we stepped out in faith last year. We began the Jesus tour in April. We actually started here in this building. And then we turned away, I don't know, hundreds from here. And then thousands were turned away in San Diego. We went from here to San Diego. And blind eyes opened in San Diego. Crippled limbs received their healing and movement. It was amazing. Jeremy was leading worship in San Diego, and while he was leading with our team, I heard the Lord say, gunshot wounds. And so I took the platform, I whispered to Jeremy, I go, I think I got something. And he's like, okay, do it. And I said, gunshot wounds. And Jeremy said, or I said it out loud, and no one raised their hand. And I was like, okay, I need to grow in hearing the Lord's voice. It's a beautiful, humbling experience, you know. And I kind of did the disclaimer. Well, it could be somebody online. You know, maybe it's someone online. And right around that time, there was a shooting in the south, in the southeast. And I won't give the exact location just to protect the people. But there was a shooting, and two girls were shot. And they were in separate hospitals. There was a partner of our ministry who's also an intercessor for our ministry. And she was watching the live feed from San Diego. And when she heard me say gunshot wounds, the Lord is healing gunshot wounds, she claimed that for these two girls in her hometown that she had been praying for, who were both in different ICU units. They both got up out of a coma within hours. At the same time, when the one girl came out of a coma, as she was coming out, she was talking to Jesus out loud. The lady reached out to us and said, it was true, it's a miracle. We have a one-page testimony from the lady. And then we went from there back to, I think, Fullerton. And then we went to Free Chapel right here. And then we went to Pasadena, and Ambassador Auditorium was jam-packed, hundreds turned away. And what I want to say is, and we ultimately would end last year's tour in Reading. And the crowd at Bethel was one of the largest turnouts in the history of Bethel. All the overflows were jammed. People began to line up early in the morning. At Free Chapel for the 7 p.m. meeting, people were lining up at 9 in the morning. Now, I pastored here in Orange County for years, and I know how hard they say this place is. But what I've been watching in Southern California, I cannot compare to anything outside of what we're seeing in Orlando. And let me be really clear, I've lived in some beautiful hubs of the move of God. I lived at Bethel for a year. I've served all over the world. The only thing I can compare it to were Pastor Benny's crusades in the 90s. What we're seeing in Orlando now, and the send we did in Brazil. Those are the only things that can remotely touch what we're experiencing here in Southern California. This is why I'm sharing this with you. The time for Southern California is now. It's now. Just to come out here, our budget went from $900,000 for the event to $1.4. And we're gladly doing it for the sake of the kingdom. What happens in Southern California touches the whole world. Yeah. Billy Graham's ministry launched in Southern California. Melody Land in Anaheim. The Vineyard in Anaheim. Listen carefully. You need to realize that much seed has been sown here. Azusa, yeah. Southern California. Amy Simple McPherson, yeah. Southern California. The Full Gospel Businessmen, right off the 5, right off the 5 where the old TBN building was. That was the Full Gospel Businessmen's headquarters. that used to pack the arena that we're using at the Anaheim Convention Center for Jesus 24. Miss Kuhlman, Catherine Kuhlman, was here every month right there in Southern California at the Shrine Auditorium. And Catherine preached in the exact room that we are using for Jesus 24. Thousands will fill that arena. Thousands have already registered. They're going to come in from all over the world. I'm telling you, what is going to happen in June will touch our nation, not because it has anything to do with Jesus image, because it's the word of the Lord over this region. It is a rare thing to gather so many fathers and mothers into one building who are going after one thing, Jesus himself. We have no agenda but the Lord himself. And so I'm asking all of you to seize the opportunity. Something happens when we gather in the name of Jesus. Lives are marked forever. You know, I was up one night praying through this, wondering if we should take the leap. And I was up till about 1 a.m. praying about what the Lord has for this region. And you say, why are you talking to me about this? Because some of y'all got to die on the altar tonight. You got to die on the altar. I'm telling you, this is not the season to ride the bench. This is the season to carry your cross and die. The winds are blowing. I'm now believing in all these words about a new Jesus movement. That's going to require something, though. And so I was up one night praying till 1 a.m. saying, Lord, do we do this? Do we actually take it outside of Orlando next year? At 8 a.m, my phone rings. It's my father-in-law, Pastor Benny, and he never calls anyone before 12. He's not a morning person. He's a night owl. He calls me and said, I just heard from the Lord. God is going to, we don't want to do it without our Circuit Rider family. We want your fire, prior. Let's believe God for that tsunami to slam this continent and the nations of the world. Amen. Amen. So join us, please. All right. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Actually, can we stand? And can you pray in the Spirit for 1 minute out loud? This is still just a big garage. Come on, pray in the Spirit out loud. It's not a time to wait and soak right now. Just pray in the Spirit out loud. Speak to us, Holy Father. Keep praying. Come on, keep praying. Strengthen the inner man. Pray mysteries. Oh Lord, how this region needs your mysteries to be released. Blessed be your holy name. Would you join hands just not across the aisles? Father, here we are. Speak to us. Run us through and touch us with your presence. Give us eyes for you and you alone. Your word is life, and you are the bread of God. Feed us. Feed us with yourself in Jesus' precious name. And we promise tonight to give you all the glory. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, let's grab a seat. Yeah, give the Lord praise. I'm not going to preach long, only 2 hours. No. Nick, when do I need to be done, bud? 8:30. Gotcha. Take your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. And I'm going to ask that while I'm teaching that you limit movement because distraction opposes the anointing. You say, give me Bible. I'm glad you asked. Jesus told the 2x2 as they went out, take nothing with you. In other words, trust me along the whole way. And by the way, don't talk to anybody on your way. He's protecting them from distraction. Same thing with Elisha when he sends out his servant to raise the dead boy. The last thing he tells him, talk to nobody on the way. Why? Because the flow of the Spirit requires 100% focus. I don't care if that sounds like toxic leadership or if you feel controlled. I actually have a passion to be controlled by the Spirit. And it's time that disciples are raised up again who know how to be in the presence of God. The presence of God is home. I'm going to say that again. The presence of God is home. And if you want the consistent, manifest presence of God, we must learn to build according to His desires and pattern. In Exodus chapter 25, don't turn there, just trust me. I'm not quoting the Book of Mormon. I promise you this is the Bible. In Exodus 25, the scripture says, the Lord speaks to Moses and says, create for me a habitation that I might come and dwell among you. And he tells Moses, build it according to the pattern that you saw on the mountain. Here's the point. God only lives in environments that he builds according to his desires. And so we need to learn to sit under the Word of God if we're going to be worshiping communities. People ask me all the time, what's the secret of Jesus image worship? There is no secret. The secret is Jesus. But one of our core values is that all of our worship leaders sit under the Word. You cannot lead worship properly if you do not hear the Word of God. Because you cannot lead people into a revelation you don't have. The Scriptures give you a vision of Jesus, and the only proper response to that vision is worship. And that's why we need a revival. This is all for free, by the way. This is still the intro. We need a revival in true Christian songwriting. And the reason it's lacking is because we don't sit under the Word. The reason we church hop is because we don't sit under the Word. I'm not doing it. I'm not home. Well, I'm kind of home. Let me work through this. Let me process it, Nick. Give me a second. Let me sozo myself here for a minute. The Scriptures are the ultimate authority. You say, well, I thought you're a Jesus man. I am. I'm about the Jesus of the Bible. I haven't created my own. And your generation is creating their own Jesus. So we must learn to sit at the feet of Jesus while the Word of God is being preached. Because the only posture by which He will speak to you is the Mary posture, the Mary of Bethany posture, which is this in Luke 10. She sat at His feet and heard His word. The only place to hear the word of Jesus from, the only location you will see Him rightly from and hear Him properly from is at His feet. Lowly ones are entrusted with His voice. At Disney, which I never go to because there's a lot of BO, and it's hot in Florida, and I hate lines. Unless they're outside our meetings, then I rejoice. But I hate waiting in lines. But there's this one sculpture at Disney where to the adult, it looks like one thing, but to kids, the sculpture looks entirely different. They have sculpted it in a way that depending on the angle that you look at the statue, that will determine what you see. And the most proper vision of Jesus comes from gazing at Him from His feet. We are the lowly ones. We're the dying ones. And that is only birthed in us when we honor the preaching of the holy word of God. Sin cycles live where the word is absent. Devils fill dry places and look for vacancy. Last night, a wave of deliverance hit Jesus' image, and people started getting delivered at the altar, and 5 minutes later, a wave of healing hit. I did nothing. I didn't even pray for the sick. I taught the scriptures in an atmosphere of worship. That's a combustible combination. So that's why I say tonight, lock in. Lock in. If God formed the world through the speaking of his word, what can he do with your heart tonight? I just heard Annie, I think. Was that Eniola? Oh, someone sounded just like her. All right. Sorry, my word of knowledge was off. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. Let's look at this. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech. I think some conference speakers could read that a few times. Or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined, listen to this language. I purposed, I tried, I gave my everything not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul is saying, I actually tried to forget everything else. Now that makes no sense in the natural. Do you know how many pastors would be set free if they spent less time trying to figure out their series and actually just preach Jesus? Honestly, do you know how many marriages would be saved? I have purposed to be on a 1 billion-year series called Jesus. As long as I'm alive, I refuse to change the subject at Jesus' image. And if my children change the message, I will come back as a cloud of witness encounter and attack them. Because, friends, it is literally the only message that works. But notice Paul here locks in on the proper definition and version of Jesus. It is Christ and him crucified. It's time that our charismatic circles know more about Jesus than angels. You want to get angels to leave your life? Focus on them. I've seen angels, and I'm always glad when they come and show up overseas. I've never asked one to leave. But I can tell you this, you want to run them off, start focusing on them all the time. We should know more about the nail-scarred hands of Jesus than how to get a word of knowledge. You say, but I want a word of knowledge. Trust me when I tell you, if you fall in love with Jesus, you will not be lacking in the spiritual gift. And how could you have an angelic deficiency if you're clinging to Jacob's ladder, Jesus himself? So Paul here is obsessed with Christ crucified. Tonight, I have come to talk to you about him. And while we are all about empowering young people in our church and at our school, I tell our young people all the time that I dread the emergence of self-induced initiatives being led by people who've never been in his glory. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about this mercenary mentality that tells God where we'll go and what he'll do with us. It's just not the way in. You can offer your life, but ultimately it is God who sends. It is God who anoints. It is God who commissions. It is God who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. It is God who puts fire in our soul. None of us tell the Lord what to do with us. What we need are people to actually encounter the living Christ, not a movement. The two are not the same. The language, what comes with Christian movements. Thank you, Nick. The merch. Listening to Jesus' image is not the same as listening to Jesus. It's not the same. Having a certain language or lingo is not the same as speaking in the Spirit. So, do I have a heart for Gen Z? Of course. I did a show of hands on Sunday night. 80% of our crowd is Gen Z. But just because it's Gen Z doesn't mean God is going to change the ancient pathways into his glory. They are immovable. If Catherine Kuhlman needed to fast and pray and seek the Lord, you do too. If the Apostle Paul had to suffer and experience the fellowship of the Lord's sufferings in order to tap into resurrection power, you do too. Do you know that when the church was birthed for the first 400 years of the Christian existence, to be ordained as a pastor, you had to have memorized all four gospels word for word. And we're cheering you on for memorizing a verse a week. Not only that, but you had to pray the entire Psalter, 150 Psalms every day. In the 4th century, a church bishop named Evagrios came and said, we're being too hard on our shepherds. It's not right that they pray the entire book of Psalms every day. How can they minister to God's people? We must show mercy on them. Let's change it to praying the entire Psalter every other day. We've got to up our game. The gates are prevailing. The gates of hell prevail where there is vacancy. We must fill ourselves with spiritual life, with Jesus himself. I remember, you know, I grew up playing competitive golf. I played professionally. Chase and I both went to the University of Florida. He's all decked out. Stand up, bro, because I've never seen you wear such priestly garments. He's wearing his orange and blue. And a shirt. When the anointing hits, you can put it on me. We're not there yet. So I played there and had a wonderful time. And I remember the first time I saw Tiger Woods hit a shot in the same tournament I was playing. And when I saw him hit one shot, I remember saying to myself, he's playing a different game than everybody in the world. When you hear that to qualify to be ordained, you had to memorize every gospel letter. I submit to you tonight that they were playing a different game in the early church. While we're looking to see where church hurt is going on, people are dying in prison all around the world clinging to the word of God. We need to up our game and put our eyes on Jesus. How many of you want Jesus tonight? Let's talk about him. This Jesus is God and man. Holy Spirit, I pray that as we lift you high, wonderful Jesus, that you would fall in power tonight. As you are lifted, Holy Spirit, please come down. Glorify the name of the one you love. In Jesus' name. Jesus is both teacher and the Word. He is the law and the judge. He is fire and the bush that cannot be consumed. He is the well who sat on the well speaking to the Samaritan woman. He is both the king and the kingdom that he rules over. Jesus Christ is the tabernacle and the one who fills it with his glory. Jesus is both forgiver and vindicator. He is the lover and the dreadful judge. Jesus is our provider and our provision. Jesus offers us bread and is our bread. I feel the Lord moving. He is the meal and the host who serves us, his precious body and blood. Jesus is priest and sacrifice. All is from him. Y'all are going to need mouthpieces by the end of this because I'm getting stirred up. He descended and he ascended to fill all things with himself. He is the author of the Word. He is the Word. He is the teacher of the Word. And he is the fulfillment of every word. Jesus is both builder and cornerstone. He formed Adam and is the last Adam. He is the ark builder and he is the ark that kept Noah alive in the baptismal waters of judgment. He is Noah's rainbow. He is Abraham's Isaac. He is Abraham's ram. He is Isaac who pursued Rachel in a foreign land like the Gentile church and put gold on her arms as the one who gives the gifts of the Spirit. He is Jacob who pursues. Can't you see him, church, in Joseph? Loved by his father, hated by his brothers Israel, betrayed for money, thrown into a pit, wrongfully accused, entered Egypt's dungeon, came out of the ground as the resurrected Lamb of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, elevated to the right hand of Pharaoh, received a ring on his finger. Oh my gosh. In control of the storehouses of wheat and bread, who is the bread of life, born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, recognized by his brothers on their second visit as Israel's Messiah, who will recognize him at his second coming. He is the ark that carried Moses down the dangerous Nile. He is the one who embodies Moses' name, the one who comes up from the waters as the baptized one from the Jordan. He is Moses' God. He is Moses' message. Did he not say Moses wrote of me? He's the blood on the two doorposts and the lintel in Exodus chapter 12. He's the lamb in every house that does not want to be admired but eaten. He's Israel's food. He's Israel's deliverer. He is Israel's savior. He is Israel's exodus. He is Israel's suffering slave. He is Israel's Passover meal. He's Egypt's worst nightmare. Oh, man, he's friend to Israel and foe to fallen Egypt. He is Prince of Peace, the man of war. He's the manna that fed the Israelites in their weary wilderness. He is honey from the rock. He is the water that spews from the rock. He is the gate at the tabernacle. He is the way on the way in. He is the truth and the life in the Holy of Holies. He's the lamb on the altar that offers a sweet smelling fragrance as the burning one. He's the water in the wash basin that washes our hands and feet, preparing us for our priestly ministry. He is the curtain dweller whose body was torn, just like the curtain was torn in two. He is Israel's red lamb. He's the purple on the tabernacle as our king. He's the gold that tells us he is God, and he is the blue fabric that tells us he is the one who's come down from heaven. He's messenger and message. He is prophecy and prophet. He's the dead raiser and the foot washer at the same time on the same day. He who never sleeps slept in a tomb. He is our Sabbath. Man, I get to do this for a living. I can't believe it. He is our Sabbath in the tomb who rests on the Sabbath. He is the crucified Lord and the risen Lord. He is the wounded King and the raised Messiah. He is the lowest one and the highest one. He is Jacob's ladder. He is David's stone. He is David's tent dweller. He is Goliath's destruction. He's the light of Genesis and the light of the world. He's the true light, as John said, that gives light to all men coming into the world. He gives us vision and is our vision. He's Redeemer. He is our sin substitute. He's the cross-carrying scapegoat who was led out of the city to die. He's the one who appears behind the lampstand. He is eaten in the showbread. He is incorrupt in the acacia wood. He is the intercessor. Oh my. He's the intercessor and the praying savior. He is the crowned one. He is the mercy seat. He is the one whose blood still sprinkles today. He is the mercy that rests upon the horns of the altar. His sweetness is found in the manna. His heart is read on the tablets of the law. His resurrection is seen in Aaron's budding rod. He is the ark. He is the Shekinah. He died on the two poles that carry the ark, the very cross of Christ. He, the ark, refuses to be divorced from the poles. And he is Moses' rod that parted the Red Sea. He swallows Pharaoh's serpents as the only great and mighty God. He has trampled death by death, and he had swallowed the grave that assumed it had swallowed him. He torments the tormentor, the devil. He wounds darkness with his own wounds. He is the brazen serpent lifted on the pole. He is the shepherd and the sacrificial sheep. He is crucified because he is cruciform. He is son of David, son of man, son of the virgin, root of Jesse, son of David, Joshua's captain, Elijah's bridegroom, Enoch's husband, Mary's obsession, John's resplendent treasure chest, the Father's son, the Father's heart, the Spirit's only message. He is Jesus. He is heaven's tabernacle. He is heaven's light. He is heaven itself. He is life. He is life eternal. He is resurrection and life. He is shepherd, warrior, sufferer, king, friend, savior, baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's Sinai's lawgiver. He's Isaiah's vision who is high and lifted up. He is Daniel's Ancient of Days. He's the fourth man dancing in the fiery furnace. In case I didn't say enough, let's rewind. He's the sleeping Adam whose side opens to birth Eve, the bride, the church, upon the cross. He's Abel's innocent brother whose blood speaks a better word. I should say he is Abel, the innocent brother, who speaks a better word. He's Melchizedek who comes with communion. And the only one qualified to receive the tithe. He's Isaac, who says yes to dying on a mountain, carrying his own cross as Abraham leads him. Like Job, he's seen as the living Redeemer. We see him in Joshua, the Savior, who leads us to the promised land. We see him in David, the conquering king, who'd rather sing than use a sword. We see him in Jeremiah as David's branch, the Lord our righteousness. Can you see him in Jonah? The one whom the belly of the deep could not hold for 3 days? Have you not heard of him in Micah, who's the man from the ancient past? Nahum says of him, he is the promised good news, the man of peace. What about Habakkuk? Where he is the source of all power. Zephaniah, he's our call to holiness. Haggai, our latter glory. Zechariah, the lowly king who comes riding on a donkey. Malachi, the son of righteousness, who arises with healing in his wings. And Matthew, the divine kingly lawgiver, who sits on the Mount of Beatitudes. And Mark, he's the healing man from Galilee. And Luke, the teacher and the door. In John, the word of God who dies on a cross. In Acts, the Prince of Life who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. In Romans, our saving Christ. In Corinthians, he is Christ crucified. In Galatians, the one who offers himself for our sin. In Ephesians, he fills all things and is all in all. In Philippians, the lowly servant and the suffering and resurrected one. In Colossians, the image of the invisible God. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the Lord who comes from heaven at the shout of the archangel. In 1 and 2 Timothy, the God-man and only mediator. In Titus, our heavenly pastor. Am I boring you? In Philemon, the grace of God. In Hebrews, the high priest and the express image of God. In James, true wisdom. In 1 and 2 Peter, the divine sufferer. In John's epistles, the word who was willing to be handled by those he loved. In Jude, the Lord who comes with 10,000 of his saints. In Revelation, he's the one who holds the keys to death. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is beginning. He is end. He is king. He is slain lamb. He's the one who holds the seven stars. He's the one who stands in the midst of a lampstand. He is a bright and morning star whose hair is like wool, whose eyes are like fire, whose feet glow like bronze, who wears the golden sash, who glows brighter than the sun. He is the warrior whose robe has been dipped in blood, who has vanquished the power of death through his own death. He is Son of Man, our eternal husband, the enthroned king, the only one worthy to break the seal and open the scroll, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse, the son of David, the judge of all, and the glorious rider who comes to deliver his church. Wow. Now, I did not give the Lord praise. Give the Lord all the praise. There's no one like him. There's no one like Jesus. I didn't copy that from somebody. I wrote this in the hotel today. I wrote a quarter of it in my seat there during worship. What's the point? Not to brag, but you should be able to do that too. Jesus said it's from the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. I have this platform across. I brought this to Free Chapel in our last tour stop here. It's weird to me that when I hold up a cross, it freaks people out in the church. To me, that's a problem. This is the symbol of our faith, not a portal. We should raise crosses. Do you realize the tremor that hell receives when Christ crucified is glorified and gazed upon? This is our faith. Get your theology from the scripture, not a podcast. Turn the stupid stuff off. If you're going to listen to people with battle scars, not some 24-year-old who can't find the book of Psalms. It's ridiculous. Even the world is smart enough to not ask the electrician to fix their plumbing. I'm more into the cross than devils. It's pretty easy to blow up your YouTube today. You can just call yourself a demon slayer and show people frothing at the mouth. Why do we empower this stuff? Wait, no, let me, I am going to say it. I'm sick of it. You tell me why a teaching on the resurrection gets 30,000 views, but if someone foams at the mouth and we use a suffering person to grow our YouTube page, do you think that's a problem? If you can give me Bible, I'll go with you. But the Bible I read says, Jesus tells the disciples, do not rejoice that devils obey you. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You actually have control over your little fingers, and you can choose what you click on. Teach on the cross. Tell me about the thorns he wore on his head to redeem our minds. Tell me about the wound on his side that birthed the church as the last Adam, as Adam's rib was used to form Eve. Jesus dies and his side opens to birth the new Eve, the church, his own bride. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about his pierced hands, the hands that formed the worlds and healed the masses in Galilee. Those hands are now transfixed to a wooden tree so that the work of our hands would be redeemed. Tell me about Jesus. What about his back that was torn? The back that Moses saw when he asked to see his glory so that we could be healed. Tell me about Gethsemane, where he sweat drops of blood as he was being crushed so that we would be anointed with the oil of the Spirit as he laid his will down. Tell me about Jesus. What is it about a fallen angel named Satan that is so attractive compared to the Holy Son of the Living God? You say, oh, you don't believe in deliverance? Oh, devils were leaving last night, but I don't give them the meeting. You manifest at our place, you either get delivered or you leave. It's not the house of the devil. It's the house of God. We have to be enamored with Jesus. Tell me about his feet that were pierced. These are the same feet that walked in heaven upon the sea of glass. Nailed to a tree so that our walk would be redeemed so that we could live holy. Wow. There's so much to talk about. I love what Francis said in that Jesus 24 video. I don't want to talk about anything else. I just want to talk about Jesus. Do you know that Jesus is the Father's only message? Why can't he be the church's? If Jesus is enough for the Father, why can't he be enough for the church? What is the only sermon the Father ever preached in the New Testament? I'll tell you, this is my Son. You say, but if I do that, I'm going to run out of content. Then get with him. Run out of content? How do you run out of content if you speak of the limitless one? I'll tell you how you run out of content. By preaching the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You guys want a Jesus movement? Start staring at him. Be jealous for him. At the risk of all attack. Let me tell you right now, if you want to lead today in the church, you have to be willing to lose your reputation publicly. Because if you do it right, they will lie about you. They will attack you. They will wound you. They will attack your family. And unless you have a revelation of the cross, you will see it as a punishment. But if you have a revelation of the cross, you will see it as the highest honor. The cross, friends, is not something Jesus achieved. The crucifixion is the greatest revelation of who he is.
Yes.
We don't tell our students at Jesus School, come and achieve your dreams. We tell our students, come crucify, come let your dreams be crucified and receive God's dream.
Yeah.
You see, God's dream is in his son. God's dream is his son. I love it how we claim Psalm 2, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. We got people going, I will take the Bahamas and I will take, and the whole passage is about the Messiah. It is the Father's gift to Jesus for dying. You think you get to go, I will take St. Croix. I want to take Maui. I'm going to take Hawaii. That's my region. I'm going to be apostle of Hawaii. See, that's convenient. No one's saying, give me Afghanistan. But do you realize that promise is to the Son? It is the Father saying, because of who you are and what you've accomplished, now ask of me, and I will give you the nation.
Wow.
Now, it's legal to say, Lord, use me there, but you don't get to steal Jesus' trophy. What's the point? I want you to be more into Jesus than evangelism. You know how you birth idols? When the isms become more important than the person. When we disconnect the work of God from the Lord himself, idols are erected. I'm not into church planting. I'm into the head of the church. We win souls. Lindy and Chase will tell you. Nick would tell you. Raul will tell you, every week souls flood the altar at Jesus' image. Unapologetically, we preach the gospel. But there's a difference between being into evangelism and being in love with the great evangelist. Do you know what the gospel is not? This is not the gospel message. You ready? Preach the gospel. That's not the gospel message. You should preach the gospel, but that's not the gospel. Do you know the message of an apostolic ministry is not, this is how you plant churches? Do you know the message of the evangelist is in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto his death, if by any means I attain the resurrection of the dead? The teacher should not teach people what teaching is. Teachers should teach the holy word of God and show Christ in the scripture. We have to be infatuated with Jesus more than our assignments. I hope you're hearing me. People come to Orlando all the time, and it's such an honor, and they're looking for secret sauce. They want, can you teach us how to flow? Can you teach us how to lead a set? The sets are pivotal, but God doesn't choose to live with the people because they had a good set. He chooses to live with the people who are addicted and in love. Is this all right?
Yes.
You gotta want him. And I can't do that. I wish I could. The Lord knows my heart with everything in me. I wish I could make you want him. I really do. To the point of tears, I wish I could speak wisely enough, with enough passion, to make you want him. Because if you did, you'd have him. He'd come your way. I can't do it. You can't do it either. That's why we need the Holy Spirit tonight. And I sense His presence here in a very sacred way. Very few people know Him. Very few people are entrusted by Him to hear His voice. He doesn't give Himself away as easily as we like to say. In John's Gospel, the Scripture says that Jesus knew what men were like. He needed no one to tell Him what men were like. And because He could not trust Him, He could not fully give Himself to them. He ministered to them, He healed them, He preached to them, but He couldn't give Himself to them. Do you know what the church needs and the world needs again? Friends of God. Friends of God. Friends of God who beat the sunrise to be with the sun. Friends who have found His voice to be food, and the lack of His voice to be the pit, as David said, "If thou beest silent unto me, it's like I've gone into the pit." David, the greatest king in Israel's history, basically said, "Without your voice, it's like I'm living in hell already." I'm so sorry that the church has lied to you and to your generation, because many are afraid of you. They're afraid you'll attack them, because leaders forgot it's an honor to receive wounds. You know how you get a treasure out of something? Wounds. Wounds always let out what's within. We need wounds. We need stripes again. We need to carry our crosses. Carry them with Jesus. Did Jesus not say, "He who loses his life will gain it"? Yes. Did He not?
Yes.
Am I not speaking to missionary hearts tonight?
Yes.
Did Jesus not say, "If you hold on to your life, you'll lose it"? Did He not say, "But if you lose it, you'll gain it"? What about Jesus telling Peter, "The Son of Man must go and suffer and be handed over to the Gentiles, and on the third day He'll be raised again"? And Peter, in his attempt to protect the one he loved, says, "No, far be it from me, Lord." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." What's the point? Any attempt, listen, don't miss this. Any attempt to divorce Jesus from the cross is satanic.
Yes.
Jesus refuses a version of Him that is separate from the cross. And you must refuse any version of the faith that doesn't tell you to come and die. Refuse it. Refuse any version of the faith that doesn't encourage you to submit to God and His people. How can you be a foot washer and not submit? This is not a curse word. This is holy. This is the on-ramp into the glory. Nothingness. Nothingness. You say, "What if I'm mistreated? What if I'm not led properly?" It's better than being independent. It's better than being Luciferian in the heart. It's better than being like the devil, who said, "I will ascend to the hill of the north. I will be like the Most High." I'm so thankful that the Lord's Prayer begins with, "Our Father." We are the broken ones. We're the humble ones. We're the ones who carry the tree. We're the ones who die daily, as Paul said, like we're led to slaughter. We die daily. Why? Why would that be so important? Because the ones who die daily live daily. Every moment you say no to you and yes to Jesus, you're infused with divine life. You want the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Lay your life down. Die. I had the privilege of, I own some of Miss Kuhlman's personal belongings. And my father-in-law owns some of her books that she used to read. And she wrote these letters. She wrote a letter to the Lord. She had no idea we'd read it. She died in 1974 or 6, I think. 50 years later, we are reading it. And she writes a letter to Jesus in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. And she writes, "Dearest Jesus, grant me the privilege of dying like these saints." I've read her other letters to the Lord. They weren't about miracles. You see, what happens up here isn't always the pulse of the heart. That's the outflow. You know what she wrote about? Loving him, knowing him, dying to self. And what did Catherine preach? Surrender, die. What did Amy preach? Die. What did Mother Bessie Leah Schlink preach? Die to yourself. What did Wigglesworth preach? Die. What did Spurgeon preach? Die so you can be filled with the divine presence of God. Yes. We need friends of God again. No more echoes. Get off the device. Shut the door. Open your Bible. Go on a fast. Receive Holy Communion. Fill yourself with the nourishment of heaven, or you will not make it in these last days. You will not survive the great falling away if you're empty inside. This faith requires everything. That's right. Everything. That's right. When you think of the satanic heart, do you know what you'll see? Power. Power undergirded by rebellion. Gifting with a rebellious heart. What does that look like today? Giving a word of knowledge and living like a devil. Winning people to the Lord on the streets and living with mixture at your house. Many had power and spend an eternity without God. Power will come your way if you live in His presence. You cannot be after His presence and live in mixture. You can receive power and live in mixture. And we're in His presence now. I think for some of you, you haven't been this still in the heart, maybe in years. I feel the fire of God. I feel the pleasure of the Lord. You know what I think? I think much of this generation has never heard the gospel. This is not extreme, what I'm saying. It's just the gospel. Our King, who leads the procession, carries the cross. And He said, if any man desire to come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Many in this room need to die tonight. So that you can meet the wonderful King of Heaven who promises to fill us with His Spirit. Would you close your eyes?
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.